Welcome in, everybody. It is another Gamecocks, the show on a terrible Tuesday episode. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Cheap Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. How you doing, J.C.?
I never thought that crosstalk was going to end.
I didn't either. I did kind of.
I mean, I was like,
"Yo, go on."
It's had to go to the bathroom, dude. I was like, "Oh man." It's like, by the way, there's one more thing.
Must be a Matt thing.
Nah, it goes along. I don't mind it most of the time, but I was like, let's just go.
I could see you in the background get up out of your chair immediately after the video started. I was like, I did the same thing. I got to go. I got to pee.
This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion. It gets shorter and shorter. But that's okay. We're here. Mad Dog Mullinax and myself, J.C. Sherbert, taking you through to the end. This is the end. And getting back into the chat box, because we kind of got caught up in our Lenora Sellers conversation. That's been, you look at, Phil, the articles on the front of the bigspur.com right now, and a lot of them, you got one about Lenora being the most experienced quarterback coming back. You know, you've got another one about the other starters in the SEC. This was the topic of coffee this morning and the way that, you know, Lenora's – you're always looking for answers, you know, in the off season when you're building your roster. And Lenora's is definitely not only an answer, but a tremendous answer. You know, somebody, one of our listeners, actually, that's also a poster on Gamecock Central the other day. And people do this and it's fine. And I'm not, you know, I'm not mad at anybody that says it. Beamer should have been fired last year. Okay. And I'll say this to that. I did not think that it rose to the level, although last year was inexcusable and disappointing for the reasons we stated.
Right.
Now, was that team a playoff team at the end of the day, personnel wise? Probably not. Was it an 8-8 win team? Yeah, I thought so. And honestly, they had Alabama beat, they had A&M beat. You know, they should have beaten Clemson. You know why? You don't know why they didn't beat Clemson. One for 11 on third down, 2 for 14 on third and fourth down. They got outrushed 147-41. They had 4 turnovers to Clemson's 1. You're not going to win.
No,
that's not how to win a football with those stats in that game. That was just a bad performance. Clemson actually played pretty. I thought Clemson played its best game against the Gamecocks, which is typical.
Right.
But anyway, enough about that. But I understand it. But you know, Beamer should have been fired. He's lucky. Blah 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 blah. Lucky that the other sports are bad, and other sports have nothing to do with football and vice versa. But, you know, and I made this point. Look, I get it, but I would rather take my chances with all of these players that Shane has and Kendall Briles and Deion Barnes and a new offensive line coach and 13 new offensive line men. You know, new players, some of those guys needed to go. And a lot, and all the key guys returning, Sellers returning, Stewart returning, Harbor returning, Vicari Swain, Fred Johnson, Justin Onkoronkwo. I mean, there's a list of guys that are coming back. I would take my chances with all of that because all of that's not happening if you make a change. Man. Over the Ryan Silverfield or Sonny Dykes era, year one. I think we all should be a little bit more excited about this one than had you gotten your fix and had a coaching change last year, because they are exciting. But, and maybe it wouldn't have ended with Sonny Dykes or Ryan Silverfield, but I think last season that was kind of what you were looking at.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure that's what you're, I mean, look, just seeing how the other jobs played out. You know,
there was a massive amount of movement.
SEC openings were either, besides Lane Kiffin, were either internal promotions at Ole Miss or they were like, who are the best 3 guys in the American? Let's hire them. So
go get the top group 5. Yeah.
Go and all that. You know, maybe they'd have hired a Bob Chesney. from James Madison, maybe, which I'd have gotten behind. But, you know, I just don't, you know, maybe I tend to have a little bit more faith in the coordinator situation than, you know, to where it kind of alleviates the head coach a little bit. You know, well, I'll stick to that, but the numbers look good. The numbers play out, but I could get behind. I think this should make fans more excited than year one, total rebuild. All the players leave. You don't know what you're getting. You're hoping to get to the Birmingham Bowl.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think roster retention, JC, and being able to pick up pieces in the portal for Shane Beamer have been kind of what keeps the hope going when things look desperate at the end of the season. Because now there's been two rough seasons under Shane Beamer where you're just like, man, ugh, under normal circumstances. But then it's just start coming in slowly, slowly. Okay, all right, we're returning almost all of our most talented players. Oh, look at that. We might have lost one, you know. I mean, Jordan Burch, I think, was probably the headline departure after that bad season, you know.
No, Burch was the year before, 2022.
That was 22. Yeah, 22.
23, but they lost a bunch of guys they didn't care about losing.
Yeah, that it was, yeah.
And Juice Wells.
That's right, and Juice, that's right, yeah. And then history came and proved that out, that it wasn't necessarily that bad a loss. Yeah, but I think that he's been adept at being able to retain the roster ultimately. And for me, that kind of maintains things, and that, you know, certain coaches every year have to rebuild their entire rosters, whether they won, you know, 6 or 10 games.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, and that's, you know, they took a hit after 2022 with somebody. Ooh. They 23 definitely could have used Marshawn Lloyd,
right? Yeah.
And Jaheim Bell, and you know, so who else left? Jalen Nichols was gonna leave, and then he got hurt, and then he stayed, and then he left anyway. It's very interesting, you know. And look, I'll be honest, the NIL situation was not good then. I mean, you know, Mario Anderson left after 2023, but they signed those three out of the portal and just said, hey, go on to Memphis. Yeah. I kind of wish they'd have kept him, because I think 2024, when Rocket was down, Mario may have done, you know, Mario's a good back, I thought. But they didn't really lose anybody, you know, and then this past year, they didn't lose anybody. And then if you remember, between 2023 was the most toxic. I'm surprised it's not toxic now. And maybe it is certain places, but that was the most toxic offseason in my whole experience with the Gamecocks I've ever had. It was like nothing was right. Didn't matter who they signed out of the portal. Rocket Sanders was never going to play. You know, he's not going to play. I remember somebody told me that after the second scrimmage that August that the defense was going to be elite. Could be elite. I got ripped to shreds because of it. You know, nobody wanted to hear anything. And then Old Dominion happened, and it was just worse.
Right. Yeah. Right.
and then the glorious afternoon when they play Kentucky, you know, of course, kind of, we got a pretty, good football team here, and away you go. But, you know, this offseason hasn't been quite as bad. I think because of the hype leading up to last year, and then just like the, oh my God, this is, I think some people maybe haven't processed it, and they're not going to. Mm-hmm. It's like when you do something like, and you're like, you screw it up. I see this more like a mulligan's, a true mulligan season. Cause in 2023, you know, the battle I was trying to fight was, hey, look, nobody could have done, you know, they were all over Dowell, you know, Loggins. And I was like, Steve Spurrier had some pretty bad offensive lines here. And when he did, I remember a lot of 14-7 games. And when they finally learned how to block, because they would always do that, they'd finally get it right.
They turn it around, right? Yeah.
man, you know, they go up and down the field like the Gators used to. You know, I mean, it wasn't the play calling, obviously. It was the fact they couldn't protect or run the ball. And that's going to beat anybody. It has nothing to do with play calling. But, man, everybody's all over everybody. And then – and that continued. That continued on until the Oklahoma game. And then A&M happened, and they got on a roll. And then there was really 1 month of peace.
Yeah.
And then, it, you know, Illinois happened and all that good stuff. So it was an interesting journey through the last couple of years. But this offseason, it more feels like what the fan base is like. They're just kind of anxious, don't want to get ahead of themselves. But then they look at the new coaches, they look at the players, and they're like, yeah, this team could be pretty good.
Yeah.
If you ask anybody honestly, they'll tell you this team could be pretty good. You don't want to, you know, you'd rather just not have the hype. You'd rather just be lying, you know, just under the radar.
That's right. Under the radar.
Harrison said last football season was a strange fever dream looking back. It was. Like the Clemson game I just mentioned, I went to that one. It was bizarre.
Just a weird, weirdest
Clemson Carolina game I've ever been to. And I went to the one where Clemson was 2-8 and the Gamecocks were 1-9, the last game for Tommy West and Brad Scott. I went with Phil's wife. That was the day Skipper looked at our friend Stephanie, my friend Skipper, because we had gone through the Hardee's drive through it easily and gotten a roast. Skipper got a roast beef sandwich. They used to have roast beef sandwiches. Really good. Arby's quality type.
Yeah, they were good. The Hardee's
were very good.
Was good.
And Stephanie, Skipper's like, bit barbecue sauce, get barbecue sauce. And Stephanie, who's like our friend Bill, who's driving, you know, who's a Clemson guy. Stephanie's USC guy. Never mentioned nary a word about barbecue sauce.
No.
So he got the drive-thru and they forget the barbecue sauce. Right. She's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, sorry, doesn't put the delicious barbecue sauce on my sandwich. That's a Stephanie. That's a line that will live in infamy. We go over there. We sit in the nosebleeds, you know, like you have to walk all the way up to the top there at Clemson, and the air's a little thin, and it's super steep, and you feel like if you take one wrong step, you're going to break your shin or tumble forever.
Or fall, yeah. Or just fall, right?
A parachute sitting up there. And we had a blast, and it was a Clemson-Carolina game, dude. Right? It was a blast. Carolina lost. It was a competitive game.
Yeah.
It's a blast. Like this past year, it wasn't fun for anybody.
No.
Like Clemson people were walking around. They won. Looking miserable. And like, congratulations. Yeah, whatever.
Man. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was weird. That post game.
I mean, the loudest weird. The crowd got for them was when the pick six that ended it. They were happy about
yeah.
that. Oh, my God. Lauren mentions the center. All right, so Josh Gunther, you want to talk about? I don't want to say one hit wonders. Speaking of Clemson, because he did have two hits. Two. Who were some bands in the '80s that had two hits?
Ooh, let's see. Oh man, that's an excellent question. Two.
Toto maybe.
Toto had a couple. Yeah,
couple. Yeah, just a couple of hits. Anywho, So Josh Gunther is in the portal. He, you know, obviously had the great start against Clemson and a great start against Florida down there. Carolina lost the game in extra innings, but he no-hit the Gators until the end. And then something happened. It just fell apart. Didn't see him much after that.
Yeah,
a lot of three bad starts in a row, and that was it. So he's going to get a fresh start somewhere. We wish the best. That will not be the last one. Lance says Schnallball, baby. Matt had something he was asking about. Said something about a tweet by Kevin Schnall. I think it's this. Matt said, if you don't need huge paychecks, why not go be happy in a smaller school like Holbrook has done? Schnall tweeted that yesterday. I don't know. I looked at Kevin Schnall's Twitter account, and I've seen nothing.
Yeah,
clarify that for me, Matt.
I wonder if that was... I saw a tweet from someone whose handle was Schnall, but you never know, like, if it's the right Kevin Schnall. Is it the real Kevin Schnall?
Well, I mean, I can tell you who. Kevin Schnall on X. He is his K Schnall 9. So.
Ooh, I don't know if that was him or not then.
I don't think it is. I think this K Schnall 9 is him, but you know.
Verified used to mean something. Damn it, Elon.
Was that a well, this isn't a verified account.
Oh, really? That's funny because the one that I saw yesterday was a verified. Let's see. Hold on, the
account. Just look it up, Phil. Oh, Phil, you gotta dig for this.
K Schnall 9. Yeah. That looks like the right one. But they could all look like the right one. Jeez.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. This 28,000 followers feels pretty solid, though.
I think that's him, but no, I haven't seen anything like that.
Nah, he had the 50% of teams that made it to Omaha last year didn't make it to the NCAA regional this year. Now, that was a topic of discussion in the first hour of the show, so maybe the morning show, rather. So maybe that's where it kind of popped up and somebody's just late. I don't know.
maybe that's it. Yeah, okay. That's it for Matt. Okay, the 50% thing. Oh, TD, no, Cam Scott got arrested in Dirty Myrtle. Beer in the car. JDS says Mario only left because Garnet Trust lowballed him. Garnet Trust doesn't make those decisions. So, Cockweed says people that are still banging the Beamer fired, wear me out, man. He didn't get fired. He's back. We ride with him at least one more time. I can't be pissed off every day about 2025. That's true, man. And you got to look at it like this. Sometimes bad things happen for good things to happen. That's a fact of life.
Yeah.
I'm living proof of that. Some of the things that I think were just bad in my eyes, you look back on them, you're like, well, if that had gone my way, life would be different. I may not even be alive.
Right.
You know, and as bad as it was, and as sad as it was, and as much as you didn't want it to happen, you know, it did lead to a coordinator hire that makes sense, that I like a lot. I've been pretty, you know. There was one time with Sellers that I kind of said, well, I started thinking about KJ Jefferson and the shots he used to take at Arkansas. But they're not going to play him like they played KJ Jefferson. You know, they're two different guys. So it's like, I don't know if he needs to get beat up like that, but I don't think that's going to happen this time. But I mean, I thought when Kurt Roper got fired, Kendall Browse was at FAU at the time. I thought Will Muschamp should have hired him. I thought Muschamp was going to look at him because Lane Kiffin had come by the practice or whatever. But it was actually either going to be BMAC or Eli Drinkwitz. How'd that turn? Yeah. Think about the Drinkwitz thing. Drink was at NC State at the time. Lauren mentions hiring Browse and fans feeling like they have a good OC has helped out a lot. So Harrison says justice will be served to that upstate team November 28th. So there we go. Sellers didn't play good. Oonga boonga.
That's right. Yeah.
Sellers no play good, Tonto. Ooh. Zero context.
Somebody's making their case to be on the playoff committee.
Yeah, great. Boonga, boonga.
Sellers, no play good.
All right, so we got to squeeze a break in.
Yeah, real quick. We'll throw
Let's squeeze in. A nice Let's break in. A nice break. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about this stuff, I guess. Again, Josh Gunther in the portal. Gamecock pitcher. Somebody mentioned the softball departures. I have noticed that.
Yeah, it's
interesting. Ask JB about it. I haven't kept up with it. So,
yeah. Well, they lost.
Ask him what it means.
Starting middle infield. He didn't have much to say on what it means other than where they got a top 10 recruiting class and she's going to, you know, do well in the portal, I would imagine, bringing players in, Coach Woodard. So, he did say we'd try to touch base with her, though, relatively soon, get her thoughts and opinions on the matter.
Laura Rutledge leaving SEC Network. I was wondering when that may happen. I knew her when she was working for GatorCountry.com back in the 2000s as a college student in Florida. Always kind of thought she would be really good, and she is. So, congratulations. Cockweed says, I heard the show Friday with Nike was mentioned with the baseball weight room. Did he mention sore necks? No, that was Will Crow. I listened to that interview over and over again.
Yeah.
So, we will see what happens. All right. The show wraps up after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of the show here inside the Gamecocks on a terrible Tuesday. It's a quick hitter today because the crossover ran a little long, but that's all right. It's jam-packed with useful information today, I guess.
Speaking of Clemson, we do have some sad news from up there to pass along. Terry Don Phillips, their former AD, has passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, he if those that remember Terry Don Phillips, he's the one that hired Dabo. So he also hired Brad Brunell, if I'm not mistaken. Very good athletic director for them. You know, made an unpopular decision at the time to not only hire Dabo, but also keep him and pay dividends. So, good man too, from what I've heard. So that's tough. You know, Gamecock Nation has certainly had its share of losses lately too. And so thoughts and prayers go out to his family, Clemson family up there. And got a lot of respect for Terry Don Phillips, you know, as an athletics administrator. He did a really good job for them. So that's sad news to pass along. We're talking about the Tigers all day today. You know, after I said earlier, you know, it used to be that everybody's peeking over the fence at the neighbor, and it's not so much anymore. And we have literally spent the rest of the show talking about Clemson
in one way, shape, or form.
My goodness.
Right. Yeah.
But that's sad. But Cockweed, I didn't hear anything about Sornex. That was Will Crow. Cockweed asked about it in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Blah, blah, blah. Lauren says she cannot believe how many players the Gamecocks kept after this season. Yeah, and look, man, it didn't – the big guy, big names, it didn't cost Carolina an arm and a leg. Carolina's spending more like everybody else, but it didn't – it wasn't a – it's not like it's, you put everything in Sellers and Stewart, you don't have any left.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Half the budget goes to Sellers and Stewart.
Those two, though, like, look, I think once Beamer hired Briles and once it kind of looked like Sellers, and who knows with the way the quarterback draft went, who knows if somebody wouldn't have taken a flyer on him and he would have gotten picked up in the first round or two. But when the feedback was kind of like, you probably need to go back to school, you know, just get a little bit better or get more production on film. Yeah. And then they hire Kendall Briles. I mean, I think that just kind of changed his calculus with the whole thing. Because I think if anybody knows what he prefers as far as an offense goes and what he can be successful at, it's Lenore Sellers himself.
Right.
You know, I think what he was maybe trying to do last year was maybe sitting there in his mind thinking that, you know, you've got to master this in order to get drafted or whatever, you know, and you want to get, you want to do it. And yeah, you're going to have to master that stuff in the NFL, but you've already had the last 2 years really have been like practice tests for that. You know, you take practice tests for the SAT or whatever, Phil, the practice test, the PSAT, that's over. It's a senior skip week this week, and you know that you gotta get your actual high school classes out of the way and get them done.
Just gonna knock it out. Yeah,
that's what this year is about. You know, all the prep for the test and all that's over. You know, you just gotta go knock out history, you know, AP history or whatever.
You found out what you needed to make on the final exams, and now you just need to go execute that. Yeah.
Harrison says, I wonder when the last time there was this big of discrepancy in the Palmetto Bowl between the two projected starting quarterbacks in terms of experience in favor of Carolina. Well, Vizzini will be, he'll be 11 games in, or by that time. And he did start SMU last year, but I'm trying to think of heading into a season. They've had such stability at quarterback. I mean, Deshaun Watson, you have the 1 year of Kelly Bryant. I would guess maybe that year, 17, because Jake Bentley did start half the year in 16. I say the Kelly Bryant year. Well, then you go straight to Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor didn't have the experience Jake had, but he was Trevor Lawrence. That was pretty good. 19. Now they didn't play in 20, 21. No. 22. DJ, it was DJ again with Rattler. I think those two were probably about very, probably similar as far as experience at that point. 23 was Klubnik and Rattler. Yeah, maybe, yeah, Rattler probably got the edge there, but then Lenoris. And yes, it's been a little bit, but not very often. You're right. Daddy O says he'd rather be lurking in the bushes with what could be a really good squad rather than on everybody's hot list. It's just easier that way.
It just, yeah, tends to just feel
easier
better
that way. No. I think teams too these days, man, you know, you used to be able to hide the newspaper from players and nobody read the newspaper. Okay. Well, nobody wants to go buy a newspaper anyway. And so you kind of don't listen to sports talk radio. That's easy. You can't tell the kids to stay off Instagram and their phone and social media.
Yeah.
And so they hear everything and maybe not hearing how great they are, you know, for things like the polls and things like that. Yeah. You know, that helps keep the team hungry. I can't imagine why any team around here would ever get overconfident about anything.
Right. Trust me.
Well, I mean, players still turn over every 4 years or 5 years, right? They haven't seen what we have all seen. There needs to be like an inductor and, you know, introduction to Carol. This is what's happened through the years here,
folks. That's right.
This is the suffering these folks have gone
through. Here's the past three decades of Carol. Yeah,
just look at it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping the flame o competition. Oh, the flame o hunger.
That's right. That's right.
Lit for the team.
Oh, complacency is a killer on a team. So I don't think we got to worry about that.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think the least amount. And yeah, these guys too that were here last year, that was not a good feeling. I mean, they're not. I don't think these guys are a bunch of like prima donnas or bad attitude. I think they want to win. I think many of them did everything they could. I mean, you think about some of the defensive games. I mean, honestly, that LSU game, you know, they held them to 20 and they kept getting the turnovers deep. LSU's offense was pretty good against the Gamecocks that night. I mean, they kept throwing it to the Tre'Davious Green or what. They couldn't stop him. LSU was able to run the ball. Nussmeier had a pretty good game. But the resiliency in that one, you know, I think about the Ole Miss game a lot with the defense, you know, getting that stop to where I think, wasn't there a turnover or something? Or I don't know. I don't know how Ole Miss got the ball in way inside Carolina territory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was 20-14. You know, you could have just been like, oh, well, we're going to need two scores anyway. I'm not going to try that hard.
You quit. Right. Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss is difficult to stop. Kilgore muffed the punt. That's right.
And, yeah.
It was crazy because Kilgore was supposed to be the punt. He's the punt safe guy. Then he also was supposed to be the starting punt returner against Virginia Tech, and he had the hammy and couldn't go. And dang it, if he didn't fumble a couple. You know, that just shows you how weird punt return is. That's just a weird deal. But Kilgore muffed the punt. Thanks, Harry. Harrison always remembers. And the defense, you know, they put spotted the ball and they got a stop. They held them to a field goal. So Carolina's still in the game, you know, in theory. I mean, you think about it. You bust another long one to Nick Harbor, which appeared at that point to be the entire offense.
Right.
And then maybe Ole Miss turns it over deep in their own territory. You run off the clock, you kick a field goal, you win. you know, that stop was actually big for Carolina. And look, it didn't look promising. An Ole Miss defense that was average as grits made Carolina's offense look like pedestrian. Pedestrian's not even say the word. That's when you sort of knew. Beamer blew his stack over there, and rightfully so. When they're sitting there running it up the middle, running clock down nine. I was like, dude, this is I've seen this in the NFL before. It never ends good.
This is not going to end well.
It's like, what are you doing? Krager said Swain dropped a punt against Virginia Tech. Yeah, I know. But it was but anyway, the resiliency and stuff, what I was talking about with that game. And that performance by the defense sometimes, and, you know, I didn't get the sense these guys were a bunch of quitters.
No, there was only one guy that quit on the field that day.
At Ole Miss?
Yeah.
I don't think he ever showed up.
All right. Yeah. Could you call it quitting?
He was in the uniform.
He wore the,
out there playing tackle. That was so bad that he just never played again. That's it. That was it.
Right. We're good. Appreciate it.
He'd been pretty decent till that point too. And down for sure. But that was just the down was just so down. It's like, this just isn't working.
Yeah. You know what? We're moving on.
It's just a shit, you know, so. Cockweed said, is that where you can read Shane's lips on Tuesday and WTF, Mike? I think so.
I think that is the game, too, yeah. It was just the end, too, where you're running the ball and you're like, you.
Oh, at the end of the first half, too. Yeah. That was – because there were some good things that they did on offense against Alabama, right? And there were some different folks involved with the – game planning and play calling all that week, and then it just went right back to Baffle City, and I felt bad because, you know what, I even said this last offseason about Shula. I said, what I do know is Mike Shula is a great quarterbacks coach. What I don't know is how good of a play caller he is at the college level,
right?
And I wasn't prophetic. I tended to think that it would work out. Many of us did, so I'm not trying to say I told you. No, I would never say that. I wish I could go back in time and smack myself around and be like, hey, listen, you need to get off this.
You stop it.
This is bad, sir. This is bad. Thank you, future self.
I appreciate it. Good looking out.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Coffee came back today. So just want to tell you that. Also, check out, ITG on podcast, that has coffee and all that. Apple Podcast, Spotify, I believe Amazon Music still. Check that out. Rate us 5 stars. Write a nice review. Don't write an unnice review.
No unkind review.
No unkind. Remember that in the video store? Please be kind and have a B and rewind.
Be kind. Please rewind.
That would suck when you get a VHS if you have to rewind it. Take 15 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, because you don't have the little standalone rewinder, right? Like they got it.
They got ahead of the video.
You got to put it in the VCR and then wait.
Charge people 50 cents and they rewind it. You got a 50% balance on your account. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, is JC Sherbert. It's been ITG. We'll see you tomorrow for Wide Open Wednesday. Y'all have a good one.